Lefwich, who has not been functional today, stands in the shotgun. Takes the snap, drops to throw with time. Now fires it long down the field. He's looking for Jimmy Smith. Smith trying to get the ball. Makes the grab. He's got the ball. He's inside the 25. Over Troy Vincent. Is there drama in Byron Lefwich? He sure has shown it here in the final 2 minutes. Byron fighting the noise, calmly barks out the signals, takes the snap, drops, turns, throws. He's looking for Wilford. He made the grab. He made the grab. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Touchdown, Jaguars. Wilford made the grab. He made the grab. The Jaguars are going to win. There's no time left.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
All right, welcome in, officially kicking off Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here. Again, Hogan Road headquarters. I don't get to see you guys as much as I should. I'm going to put it kindly, Tyler, and say there's some remodeling going on once again in the Jaguars Today radio studios.
The leakage.
It might have been a little leakage going on right there. You get your poise pads, get your whatever you need, because the rain might have been coming in the building yesterday.
Is Joe Fortunato okay?
I don't know. I have not seen it. Joe did text me last night and said, you probably want to go over to 1010XL tomorrow.
Thanks for the heads up, Joe.
Thank you for the heads up, because I've made that trip over to the stadium before. Traffic was not friendly to me this morning, so I'm glad I had to make a direct route here as opposed to anything else. We'll go up to Indy coming up in about 10 minutes. Tony's going to join me up there and find out what kind of scuttlebutt he has been coming across in terms of your Jacksonville Jaguars and the talk and the gossip at the NFL Combine. He's been talking to some folks behind the scenes, and maybe have some guys that have a chance to sit down with us over the course of the next 3 days as well. Frank Frangie and Rick Belue will be broadcasting live this afternoon as well. I mentioned to Jeff Prosser, and many of you may have seen this, Austin Lane, the former Jaguar, tweeting out a series of questions that he had been asked at the NFL scouting combine when he came out of college.
And to say these questions are obscure may not be the fair use of the word, because these are wild.
Well, some of them, let's try to figure out, right, are any of these valuable? Because today's Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is simply, if you had a chance to ask a crazy question of an NFL scouting combine participant that you think would help, that would somehow, you know, enlighten yourself into that person's psyche, what would you ask? That's the question of the day. So you can participate via Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Tyler, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Austin Lane said, when a scout at the combine asked me, and he included little video clips and funny expression GIFs. It's GIFs, right?
Is it GIF or is it GIF?
I think it's GIF. I think it's GIF. And here's how I remember
like
this.
Peanut butter.
Yes, because it makes sense that it would be GIF, right? With the big G, right? You would think it would be GIF. And like GIF with the peanut butter was with a J. But Joe Cowart used to always call him GIFs. And I'm like, dude, that can't be right. It's GIF. And then I looked it up and he was right. And it really is GIF, and it's annoying.
Joey Bag of Donuts.
Joey Bag of Donuts coming through. Austin Lane said, when a scout at the combine asked me, quote, if you could kill someone and not get caught, would you? Hey, first of all, you're not gonna go in there and answer all these things honestly, are you? And any question that includes would you kill someone,
if no one would find out.
Right, if no one would find out. Now, if you go,
except your future employer.
ISIS. Or the Taliban, or, you know, I mean, you know, if you go totally PC, if I could go back in time and kill Hitler before Jeb Bush got to him, right? Something like that. If you could kill someone and not get caught, would you? First of all, your answer to this, Tyler, answer these honestly. If you could kill someone and not get caught, would you?
What if I'm speaking to my choice right now?
My answer is yes, all right?
I'd say yes. And if anyone says no, then you're a flat-out liar.
Right.
If honestly no one would ever find out, then of course the answer is yes. Well, there's always going to be someone, because the morality is always one of the biggest points of, you know, of murder. It's just not moral.
Right. So. Well, that's the thing. Not everyone would say yes. Some people would be like, no, it's wrong to kill people, okay? And honestly, I say yes, and I probably would not, because of the whole eternal damnation threat that would loom large, right? And I'm assuming that anyone finding out does not include the creator, okay? So let's just say I would contemplate it, seriously, okay? Here's another one. Scout at the combine asked, do I think my mother was attractive or is attractive?
Every answer should be a no.
No, I mean, unless she's in your presence. Beautiful. She's my mom. She's a lovely lady. Yes, she's attractive. I mean, I'm not attracted to her, but I think she is an objectively attractive woman.
That is a great way to put it. She's attractive, but not. I am not attracted
right. I'm not attracted to her. She's my mom. What are you, a freak? Right? I mean, honestly, don't you just hope?
What
that
are you trying to get out of that,
that
question? If you're an NFL scout,
right? Are you trying to play armchair psychologist? See if I have some kind of edible complex here. I didn't say edible. I said edible. Okay. What about this one? I see you have dreads. You smoke weed, don't you?
All right, that's just profiling. Come on.
I mean, that's total profiling. Hey, I see you have a buzz cut. I think you smoke weed, do you, Tyler? Huh? See? No comment is probably the best answer. No, sir. I don't. At least not in the weeks leading up to the combine, sir. Why? Did I test positive? That would probably be the best way to come back. Huh?
Right.
Why? Why are you asking? Scout asked Austin, wait, another murder question. If you had to murder someone, would you use a gun or a knife?
Okay. Oh, it's got to be a knife.
It doesn't have to be. That makes it personal, right? I mean, it depends on who you're murdering, right? And you want to get your hands dirty? Is this a personal? Are you a person that reacts with emotion? Or do you have some degree of detachment? And can I put a gun in your hand?
And I will say, the way you do answer this question, if a gun or a knife, kind of tells a lot about the person that's answering the question. Because a lot of people, if you're going to murder someone with a gun, it's instant, it's over. A knife's a brutal murder.
Right. I mean, you know, if you watched The People versus O.J. last night, you saw the actor playing Fred Goldman, you know, just detailing how awful it was for his son to die by multiple stab wounds. And it was pretty harrowing, actually. So, yeah, what if you just came in there prepared with, nah, dude, here's how it would go. Okay, you had this whole other elaborate scheme. And you didn't involve a gun or a knife, but you knew exactly. He goes, no, seriously, here's what you do. You get this and you get this. No, trust me, this will work. And, you know, and you had this whole thing planned out. What would the reaction be to that? I'm not sure. Scout at the combine, and then, of course, you get the boxers or briefs. What? I mean, you think you're being clever at this point in time? Honestly, boxers or briefs, right? I mean, that's...
We decided not to draft Dante Fowler because he was wearing briefs.
He was going with the boxer briefs. What about the boxer briefs? Aren't those like the best option, right? They're kind of in between, right? Give you a little snugs.
You a little freedom as well as getting a little protection.
Right. You got a little the best of all worlds.
Your little guys enjoy it.
Absolutely. Speak for yourself there, little guy. All right. We got to take a time out here. So if you want to participate in that, we'll have a little fun on Twitter and Facebook today. Give us your crazy question that you would try to trip up a draft prospect with. Given the opportunity, what kind of question would you throw at them? At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Tyler as well. Fat Tony's got an update from Indy coming up momentarily, and then he'll join me coming back on the other side to give us the lay of the land, where the broadcast is set up, and who may be available to cross our paths on the 1010XL airwaves over the next few days. That's all coming up. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We go to Indy next here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Well, I mean, every piece that you're involved in, it adds to the piece of the puzzle. So, I mean, obviously the tape is first and foremost. You got to be able to evaluate that. But these 15-minute interviews that you have, you know, you try to find out maybe one or two things specifically. And then you have them on the field. You like to see how they compete in a situation where there's a lot of eyes on them. So all of them are really, really important. But, you know, I think position group-wise, what we do is we try to get our assistant coaches on the field. So we try to take even more advantage of it. Like a guy like Doug Marone will be working with the offensive line, so he can kind of get a better feel for them than up in the stands as we're watching them, you know, really how they're trying to attack that specific drill.
That's Gus Bradley talking about the kind of things he's trying to get accomplished during a week at the combine. That was from last year as they were heading up to Indianapolis. And in Indianapolis, once again, Gus Bradley is going to speak with the media about this time tomorrow, about 10:30 a.m. East Coast time, I believe. I believe it's East Coast time that he's doing, right?
No, that's Central time up
there. Is that Central?
Oh, no, that is. It's not in Chicago. It's in Indy this year. So, yes, it is East Coast time.
Is that correct. East Coast time in Indy?
Yep, Indy's Eastern. Yep.
I don't do well with the conversions on the whole timing issue. I believe it's East Coast time in Gainesville, Florida, as well. Before we go up to Indy and talk with Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, let's get our boy Short Dog from Gainesville up. What's up, Short Dog?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
We're good.
Mike, I need to ask you this question. I had a buddy of mine getting a disputed argument with me last night about Jalen Ramsey because he's a Florida State fan. So I said that the Jags need to go defensive end in the first round and, you know, maybe get a try to go out to Eric Berry or Eric Weldon or something like that. Well, Eric Berry going to be gone. I said, well, Eric Weldon, good, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, make a long story short, he told me that Jalen Ramsey is better than Eric Berry right now, and Jalen Ramsey hasn't even played a professional football game. And what is your opinion on that dumb question? And I'll take that.
All right. Thank you, short dog. Look, no, he's not better than him right now. Eric Berry's been a multi-time Pro Bowler in the NFL. So, no, he's not better than him right now. Does he have the potential to be a very good one? He's got all the athletic gifts you would want in a player to play in any position practically in the secondary. So I think his potential is extremely high. Is he better than Eric Berry right now? I'd say no, he's not. Look, the thing, should the Jags go for a defensive end in the first round? A lot of this obviously is dependent. Who do they sign in free agency? Are they able to land Malik Jackson? Are they able to land Olivier Vernon? Are they able to land Eric Weddle? You know, are one of those spots a gaping hole? I don't have a problem. If you like Ramsey a lot, if you're the Jags and you sign Eric Weddle, draft Ramsey as well. Play Ramsey a corner for a couple of years and then have him eventually take over for Eric Weddle on the back end. Get as many good players as you can, as many key spots as you can. Now, look, I don't like him better than Joey Bosa under any circumstances. From what I know about Joey Bosa, he's the top defensive lineman on most people's boards, and I'd rather have Bosa because I think the closer you are to the quarterback, the more impact you have on him and the more that helps everybody else rather than working from the back forward. Let's go up to Indy right now. Welcome in our boy Fat Tony. What's up, Tony? How was the travel up to Indy? It's a breeze getting up there, right?
Travel was easy coming up here, especially compared to the trip we had a couple weeks ago going all the way out to San Francisco. It was pleasant coming up to Indianapolis, just the one stop in Atlanta. And really, I was only in the Atlanta airport for about 20 minutes before we were boarding for the next flight, so it worked out really well.
Yeah, well, you know, give us the lay of the land while you're up there. We know not everyone is allowed in. It's not, you know, certain members of the media, you know, kind of like pool reporters and such are allowed in to the combine. And it's televised, obviously, but it's not a free-for-all where everyone can just sit in the stands and watch what's going on, correct?
No, and what you see on TV is really probably about a tenth of what is actually here trying to cover this event, because they don't allow all the media into that room to watch what happens with the on-field workouts and those kinds of things. So there's a ton of media that is here from teams all across the league to cover the press conferences, the players as they come through, starting today with the offensive linemen and running back groups. There's no set schedule for the players as far as interview times. They just kind of walk into the room, and about 30 seconds before they walk in, they'll walk in and say, we got Derrick Henry at podium B. And then anyone who wants to talk to Derrick Henry has to rush over there and just be ready to go get him at that time, because there's no set time for any of these guys because of the medical evaluations and everything else that they're doing throughout this day. You're just not sure when they're going to be available or if they're going to be available to the media. But head coaches and general managers started talking to the media about an hour ago out here, and that's about 30 yards from me right now, the podium that you'll see on NFL Network throughout the day today.
Yeah, here's some of the guys, by the way. You mentioned Derrick Henry, and we know, Tony, just anecdotally, a lot of Jaguar fans would love to see Derrick Henry end up here. He's a Yulee kid. He's a, you know, he's considered a local kid, started Alabama, Heisman Trophy, all these things, and we understand they've got T.J. Yeldon. I don't think they're drafting Derrick Henry, but Ryan O'Halloran tweeted out a list of some of the names of the players that the Jags will meet with. And that does, look, they're going to meet with a ton of people, right? So that doesn't necessarily indicate who they're going to draft. But Derrick Henry is among those they're going to meet with this week. But so is Laquon Treadwell, Tony. And I don't think there's any chance the Jaguars are drafting Laquon Treadwell with the fifth overall pick. I don't think there's any chance that they trade back in the first round that they're drafting Laquon Treadwell. They're pretty good at wide receiver right now. I think you do your due diligence on these guys who are some of the top performers, because you never know what happens down the road. 3 or 4 years from now, are they a free agent? What kind of impression did you have of them? Every team keeps a book on all these players.
No doubt, and that's the NFL Combine is about so much more than the 40-yard dash and any of that kind of thing. For some players, obviously that's going to be crucial, and it might have been crucial for Treadwell if he had decided he was going to run the 40-yard dash here at the Combine, because that's the biggest question about him is that speed. But it's about everything else that goes on, too. It is about those player interviews. And like you said, not necessarily with guys that you're planning on drafting, but guys that you want to make sure that you know so that you may have an opportunity down the line, or maybe they wind up in the division and you're going to have to play them twice a year. You'd like to have some idea of what type of person, what type of player they are. So you try to take advantage of all of these opportunities. And really, probably the biggest part of the combine is that medical evaluation for these guys. And the guys that don't even get to the combine floor, because the doctors every year, they find a handful of players that have fractures in their foot that they didn't know about before they got here. That kind of thing goes on. They have MRI machines. I found this out last night. The MRIs that they bring out here, those machines will run all night, essentially. If they tell a player they need an MRI and they can't get them until 3 a.m., well, then that player's going to go get an MRI at 3 a.m. so that they can try to get cleared to get out onto the field medically to perform for these scouts that are here at the NFL Combine. It goes all night long. And really, I think that's the bigger part of what happens in Indianapolis. It's just not something they're going to be showing on TV, those guys in the medical eval room.
Right. It certainly serves a purpose. And having all the guys together for that, for the interview process, it can seem like a bit much at times. And particularly, we're talking today about, you know, some of the ridiculous questions that these prospects get asked. And, you know, sometimes there's a method to the madness. You're looking to see what kind of response that they give you. I know Tyler passed along one that Austin Lane tweeted about. If you were going to kill someone, would it be with a knife or with a gun? And I guess the correct answer is I wouldn't kill someone, right? I mean, so, you know, I think they're looking at a glimpse into your psyche. Nevertheless, some of it goes a little bit towards the absurd. Let's shift gears for a second, because I know you've seen the video on TMZ of Dante Fowler kind of, I don't know if overseeing is too strong a word, but certainly observing a fight between what is reportedly his current girlfriend and the mother of his child. And TMZ released the full video over the last 12 hours or so. The entire thing is out there. It doesn't really add any more than we've already seen, just a few more action shots. Dante Fowler doesn't look any more involved than he did yesterday, Tony. But as you talk to people, there are a lot of GMs and NFL front office people and league personnel there. So I know you're talking to a lot of people. Is the sense that overwhelmingly Dante Fowler does not really face any jeopardy over this, or is that still an open question?
No, it feels like right now, at least from the people that I've had the opportunity to talk to, that the league's not going to step in this situation and do anything with Dante Fowler. No fine, no suspension for Dante Fowler Jr. Now, obviously, there's going to be a backlash from fans who have some kind of opinion on Dante Fowler. A lot of fans were upset that he wasn't available to the team last year, even though that wasn't his fault, whether or not he was going to be able to be on the field for him last year. But now, you haven't seen him for a year, and this is really the first time that he's been back. And I think I can understand a lot of fans that will be very upset with Dante Fowler, but I think that's the extent of it from a league perspective. Whatever backlash he receives from the fans, I think, is going to be all the kind of backlash that he's going to deal with. I don't think the league's doing anything about it.
Well, let's be honest. The backlash, his story's going to die quickly unless there becomes more to it, because Jacksonville is just not a very big media market. We haven't seen Dante Fowler Jr. on the field. So nationally, I don't think this is going to be a story, Tony, much beyond the next few days. So when you look at Jacksonville, what is your guess as to how the fans are going to react to this? Because my thinking is they're going to say, you know what, Dante, we're glad you didn't get hurt. We're glad that you didn't hit anybody. And don't do this again, and get out there on the field and please get us 15 sacks this year.
No, I think that will largely be the perspective. Is, look, I know my reaction when I saw the video was, why is he putting himself in that situation? Like, that was the question that I had. I don't know how right or wrong I thought what he was doing was. I think it's stupid, and I don't think you want guys that you're drafting at number three to be doing stupid, silly things like he appears to be doing in that video. But I think if he gets on the field and he is a productive player, you look past that pretty darn quickly as a fan base, and hopefully he does get on the field and become productive. Now, it's different. It's kind of like the Blake Bortles kindergartner's comment. It has a shelf life if you don't play well. Blake played pretty well after the kindergartner's comment, so it kind of died away. It's still in the back of people's minds. It'll probably be that kind of situation with Dante in this video, too. If he's playing well, nobody cares about the video. If he's not, then it's, well, of course, look at what this guy was willing to do on this video, don't you remember? type of deal, and that's the situation he's put himself in.
Yeah, and look, in the, and I'll be honest with you, as I was coming in yesterday, I hadn't heard the story on Monday because I was off and wasn't really paying attention to what was going on, and as I'm driving in, Dan and Jeff are alluding to a video involving Dante Fowler, and I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, what could it, not because of anything specifically with him, but, you know, when you hear about a video these days and it's in the news, it's probably no good, and I was relieved that this was all that it was. Let's put it that way. So I'm just trying to take this, just being honestly honest about it as pragmatically as possible. I don't really care. I mean, is it the best thing? No. Would I want my sister dating Dante Fowler? Maybe not, okay, because he might try to, you know, pair her off with one of his former flames. I don't know. But in terms of how it impacts the team, how it should impact the fan base, my life, I don't care that much about this, and I'm just being honest about the situation. So let's hope we don't have to hear anything more coming out about this. And I know Dave Caldwell said that Dante alerted the team. That does seem a little weird to me that he you get in this situation and allow yourself to be videotaped or not even sure if you're videotaped because it didn't come out for 3 weeks, and then you go alert the team. Why alert the team? Why not? Why just not do it in the first place? And you don't have to alert the team to anything unless you think it's going to get out, which is probably what he did at whatever point he did tell the team. He figured, the better they hear it from me than hear it from somebody else.
Yeah, and look, talking to Dave Caldwell last night, he alluded to the fact that they had known about it for a while, so that makes sense that Dante had told him about it. Why and when all that happened, I don't know. You know, I don't even know what security guard was watching that tape and basically called TMZ to say, hey, I got Dante Fowler on tape doing this. You know, there's a lot of little spider veins to this story, but in the end, I don't think it's going to come to much. It's the league's not going to do anything about it. I don't see the team doing anything about it. And honestly, I think they may have to address it here over the next day or two, but that'll pretty much be the end of it, is my guess, with Dante Fowler in that video.
Yeah, that's my guess as well. All right, Tony, coming up in a little bit, we'll get the lay of the land from you in terms of, you know, Jaguar availability over the next few days and just what else is going down. I know Jack Del Rio, for instance, you said, was talking this morning, the Oakland Raiders head coach, former Jaguars coach, and I guess it's pretty much every coach throughout the course of the week, every general manager and some other decision makers, certainly some owners, will be front and center, I would imagine, getting their piece spoken, and a lot of conversations both on and off the record with agents, both for players in the draft and pending free agents. Nobody would talk about pending free agents with an agent prior than when they're allowed to, would they?
No, of course not.
That doesn't
There's
happen,
no tampering
right?
in the National Football League. Everything's above board in this league, doggone it.
All right, here's an interesting tweet somebody just sent in on Twitter. They said that Dante knew of the existence of the tape and reached out to the team ASAP, suggests he was approached first as blackmail. That's possible. You know, somebody might have said, hey, you know, we got a video. How much do you want to pay me to make sure it never gets out there? And he's like, man, I didn't do anything on that video. But you know what? You're going to try to make a big deal out of it. Let me go tell the team. I didn't even know it was on video. It was honestly, the whole thing was over in 30 seconds. But regardless, so that's an interesting way of looking at it from Z Sleepio sent that one in. So there you have it. All right, Tony, hang loose. We'll get back with you coming up in a little bit. Check in on how things are going on in Indy as the Combine gets underway. Officially today, what do we got today? Special teamers? Who all's working out at the Combine in Indy?
Special teams, offensive line, and the running backs groups are all in today meeting the media. They're going through their medical testing today. Nobody's on the field out here in Indianapolis until Friday officially. But everybody, all the offensive line and running back groups are weighing in. And today, if they're going to talk to the media, it'll be today.
All right, there you go. Fat Tony, live in Indianapolis. Hang loose, we'll check with you back in a little bit. All right, it's a Metro Rooter Wednesday here at Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey and Tyler Devitt with you here at 1010XL World Headquarters. If you'd like to be a part of the program, 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line. You can weigh in that way or via Twitter or Facebook. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. If you had the chance to ask a crazy question to some of the prospects at the NFL Scouting Combine, what would you come up with to try to get them off their game and get a reaction from them? Share your thoughts with us on that in our various methods of feedback. We'll take some of your calls coming up next as we talk more about the Combine and the Jaguars' place in it. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. right, Jaguars today, Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey here at 1010XL World Headquarters. Pat Tony's in Indy. Nobody's down at the stadium right now. Joe Fortunato's down at the stadium, rowing his little canoe through the studio. I hope not. They plugged the leak, Tyler. It worked for months. Apparently, yesterday's rain got to it.
How bad would it be if you were on the air, you know, doing a read or something like that, and you get a little bit of drip of water coming down on your head?
You ask, because it happened. We came in for a couple of shows in the fall, because it reached critical mass. You know, the little ceiling panels, a couple of them were getting soaked through, and...
You could see it coming.
Well, I got a drip or two seriously squarely on the top of the head, and then... the next day, the large portion of the roof, the ceiling, had collapsed. That was time to make different arrangements. I don't know if you know how good it smells when you get, like, musty rainwater that sits and soaks in the carpet for a
delightful.
Few days. It really is delightful. It opens the pores right on up, opens up the sinuses. It's fantastic. Here's some news from around the NFL that actually applies to a football-style program such as we consider ourselves. The Cowboys reportedly are prepared to sacrifice animals. No, immediate impact in the draft for the chance to get a franchise quarterback if they feel like there's a franchise quarterback there. Why does that matter? Well, it should matter to you. Let's hope like hell that they love Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. That way, whoever the Browns take it to, the Cowboys, oh, man, you guys really, you need a quarterback. That's how about them Cowboys. Go take one. Are you kidding? How good would that be? I honestly don't think it's going to happen.
Two quarterbacks going in the top four?
In the top four. I don't think it's going to happen.
That'd be Christmas for the Jaguars.
Oh, you know what? And I want it to be the Cowboys because I don't want anyone to trade up to Tennessee and let Tennessee slide back a little bit and get a really good offensive lineman, whether it's Tunsil or Ronnie Stanley out of Notre Dame, who some, Mayock thinks are not that much separation between the two, for instance. I don't want Tennessee to get a bounty of draft picks. I don't want him to get anything. I want him to get Laremy Tunsil, have Laremy Tunsil be a colossal bust for the rest of his career.
Well, did you catch the new Titans GM? Apparently, he was speaking to TitansOnline.com yesterday, and it sounds like he may have been tipping his hand as to who he was wanting. A lot of the times, he was referencing to the Super Bowl, got to check the lines, who was winning the lines, the battle of the lines, the defensive line was overpowering their offensive line, basically saying, I need to protect my quarterback, my investment, Marcus Mariota. And a lot of the people, a lot of the draft analysts now, all of them pretty much have Laremy Tunsil going to the Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. And they made no secret about it. When you have the first pick, you don't have to make a secret about it. And I don't think it's, look, we know you've got a franchise quarterback. You want to protect that guy. You didn't do a great job in that department last year. To pretend otherwise, people would laugh. And then you'd know that they're locked in. The more they protest about taking an offensive lineman, the more likely they would be taking an offensive lineman. But the question is, could they move back a little bit? Would there be a team willing to come up to get a quarterback, particularly if they think Dallas might take one? It's going to be interesting because, you know, teams don't like to trade up further than they have to. They want to jump up just to that spot. We talked about that yesterday. Would a team trade up to Jacksonville's spot if they wanted a quarterback? Well, probably not because Baltimore's right behind them. They're not going to be taking a quarterback. So you'd think, okay, we have to get in front of San Francisco at 7, potentially, if you're a team in the teens that wants to come up and grab one. And because San Francisco, you don't know what's going to happen. Is Kaepernick going to be there? Do they trust Blaine Gabbert? Probably not to be their franchise guy. New head coach, do they want to start the Chip Kelly era in San Francisco with a new signal caller? Well, if you want to get in front of San Francisco, you don't want to come up to 5. You want to come up to 6. And you want to wait until it's on the clock so nobody else jumps your spot. So the likelihood to me, I don't think the Jags are going to have much of a market to move down from 5 is my guess. Look, I don't care where it is, whether if Tennessee does trade down, hopefully they'll screw up the picks that they do get. Two quarterbacks going in the first four picks would be phenomenal.
And if Dallas does go quarterback, that probably tells you a lot about the future of Tony Romo and that his longevity isn't that long, probably about what, another year or two if they do go quarterback.
How could you trust, what would you think Tony Romo's going to play from this point on?
I'd say 2 to 3 years max.
Max, and it's anybody's guess because the guy keeps re-breaking the same collarbone. You got to think that there's going to be an ongoing issue with that. It's not like he didn't let it heal before. So, look, Cowboys, let's hope Jared Goff and Carson Wentz and Paxton Lynch and whoever else throw exceptionally well. You don't want too many of them that look like franchise quarterbacks because then you feel like, Well, then maybe we can grab one at the top of the second round and trade back into the end of the first round. You want Dallas to feel the pressure that there is a dwindling or just a certainly low amount of available potential franchise QBs. If that's the way they truly feel, that's what Stephen Jones, Jerry's kid, had to say about it, the executive vice president of the team, which, by the way, Stephen Jones given a lot of credit for the last few years for helping to go away from the flash of a guy like Johnny Manziel, focusing on building those lines of scrimmage in Dallas and doing a pretty good job. Dallas has drafted mostly well. Yeah, they took a shot on Randy Gregory, and it didn't work out.
Randy Gregory, you'd also have Joseph Randle and then Johnny Manziel all possibly in the same franchise.
Well, Joseph Randle's gone, so he's
still attached to them.
By association, yes. But Randy Gregory, is there, you had Greg Hardy. I mean, Dallas doesn't care about a little dysfunction, obviously. I don't see Manziel going there at this point in time.
Or going anywhere at this point.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, I think, to project. How about this one for the Jags? Not that this would be any kind of earth-shattering move, but former Jaguar punter Adam Podlish wants back in the National Football League. Did you see this story?
No, former Chicago Bear great.
Right, former Chicago Bear great. Adam Podlish is how he's usually referred to. But, you know, he left Jacksonville, and good for him. You know, he got a good deal in Chicago, made some serious money, and the Jags brought in Brian Anger to be the next guy. And what happened was he and his wife had a child, and as his wife was having the baby, she suffered what was considered, quote, catastrophic complications during delivery, and her blood pressure dropped to the point where they thought she might not survive. And both the mother and the child lived, but they had some serious health repercussions due to this very difficult delivery. So Podlish basically took 2 years off to take care of his family, to be with them all the time. And now he says everything's good. You know, that's in the rear view. I'm healthy. They're healthy. He's only 32 years old. He wants back in. We heard Hayes Carline tell XL Primetime a week or so ago that there's no way in hell Brian Anger's back in Jacksonville. And who knows? Maybe Podlish makes a return. Wouldn't be like he'd be a bank-breaking free agent acquisition, but maybe something to keep an eye on.
What are the odds the Jags draft a punter in the third round this year?
None. Zero. The odds are in a percentage-wise, the percentage would be zero. Out of 100 opportunities, they would draft the punter 0 out of 100 times. There is a 0% chance. If there could be a less than 0% chance, that would be what the number would be. Whatever the smallest number you can think of, that is what the chances are that the Jags will draft a punter in the third round this year. I'd be shocked that they draft a punter, period. But if you threw a seventh-round pick at a punter, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. If the guy is supposed to be really good, that's a seventh-round pick. You're supposed to reach a point in time when your team gets good enough that those guys should have a lot of difficulty making the squad anyway. All right, we'll step aside. This date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, that's all coming up. Fat Tony live in Indy in about 25 minutes on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, February 24th, let's go back to 1985. Jim Kelly, who was he playing for in 1985, Tyler? You got no clue. Who was he playing for?
I'd have to guess Buffalo.
That would be the Houston Gamblers, baby, of the United States Football League.
Ooh.
Right? The Gamblers. Of all things, the Gamblers? Are you kidding me? The NFL would shudder at the thought of a team being allowed to call themselves the Gamblers. But on that day, Jim Kelly passed for a United States of America professional pro football record, 574 yards for the Gamblers, and threw 5 touchdowns on the day. 4 guys had thrown for more yards in the Canadian Football League. Doug Flutie threw for 582 for BC versus Edmonton back in 1991. Sam Echeverry from Montreal back in the 50s did it. He threw for 586. Danny Barrett for British Columbia did it versus Toronto back in 93. And Matt Dunnigan from Winnipeg, how many yards did Matt Dunnigan throw for, the most ever in Canadian Football League history in a single game? What you got?
Ooh, single game, I'm going to go
Danny Barrett in second place had 601, by the way.
So I'm going to guess 665.
How about 713? Ooh. 713 yards for Matt Dunnigan. Famous birthdays for this date, a boatload of them. Fred Dean, the Hall of Fame lineman, primarily with the San Diego Chargers, also with the 49ers, though 4-time Pro Bowler, elected to the Hall of Fame in 2008, turned 64 today. Jeff Garcia, Jeff Garcia spent a long time in the Canadian football. He came to the NFL when he's about 29, 30 years old, made four Pro Bowls in that time. He is a 46-year-old now, born in the state in 1970. Simeon Rice, defensive end with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and others, born on this date in 1974, three-time Pro Bowler. A couple of current Jaguars have birthdays today. Happy birthday to Ryan Davis. I count him as a current Jag. I know he's technically a restricted free agent.
Happy birthday.
Believe he'll be back. 27 years young for Ryan Davis. Michael Bennett, last year's sixth-round pick. Are the Jags out of Ohio State.
Still blossoming.
23 years old. He's got plenty of time to make an impact. Dwayne Allen, Ryan O'Halloran suggested he may be a target of the Jags in free agency. A 26-year-old coming to the end of his rookie deal in Indianapolis at the tight end position. And former Jaguar Jordan Todman, born on this date in 1990. He turns 26 as well. And that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Is Jordan Todman still with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I believe he was last year.
He was running with them when they had all those injuries this year, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Towards the end of the year, right before Fitzgerald Toussaint got the call.
Fitzgerald Toussaint.
Yes.
Just behind him in the depth chart. NFL media's Rand Getlin reported that the Saints will release 32-year-old wide receiver Marcus Colston. The Saints' all-time leading receiver finished with 9,759 yards and 72 touchdowns in his Saints career. Colston was a dominant force alongside Drew Brees for years, but he's lost a step or two over the last couple years, finishing with just 520 yards this season, 45 catches and 4 scores. Andre Johnson has played his last down as an Indianapolis Colt. That's the report from NFL media insider Ian Rappaport. Johnson just finished up his 14th season in the league, and it's unclear whether he will retire or force the Colts to cut him. If the Colts do decide to cut him, Mike, they get a $7.5 million cap hit. Andre Johnson, by the way, turns 35 in this upcoming July. And former Jaguars kicker, Mike, there, Josh Scobie, joined the Frank Frangie Show with Rick Blue last night in studio. Frank and Rick are up in Indy for the Combine, so Scobie was sitting in with Brent Martineau, T-Wig, and Amanda Borges. And here's an interesting chunk that I want to play regarding after he got released from Pittsburgh, and he said he had a couple of teams reached out to him.
I might have still been kicking the rest of the year. I wouldn't have been kicking because I actually got hurt that the day before my last game that I played in Pittsburgh. And it took basically the whole season for me to get healthy. So luckily I'm healthy.
Was that a quad and then you had the hip?
Yeah. So basically I hurt my quad the day before that game, kicked in the game, didn't make it any better, and then had that bad game, got released a couple days later, and actually got phone calls from teams 3 days later because just so happened that three other teams' kickers had really bad games that weekend, including Jacksonville, I think it was Jacksonville, Tampa, and New Orleans were the teams that called me.
Yep.
So it was a very strange situation. I wanted to come back and kick, but I couldn't. And I tried to rehab and get it better, and I ended up making it worse. And in the long run, it was a much better situation that I ended up sitting out the rest of the year because I got my leg back to 100% and got my mind back to 100%. And now this next season, I'll be ready to go. Whichever, you know, team that ends up being, I'll be ready to go.
It does make more sense that Josh Scobie went from being at least a serviceable kicker. He wasn't great in his final year statistically with the Jags, but a serviceable kicker with a renowned big leg, not getting a sniff at all, at least publicly, that we knew of after being released by Pittsburgh. Now, he was really bad with the Steelers. He was bad before that game in which he got hurt. But if that, in fact, is the case, and he was contacted by several teams, it makes sense why he wasn't able to play. Hey, you know what? I appreciate the interest, but I'm hurt. I got to rehab this thing. And plus, you know, he's getting paid as a vested veteran. He could collect termination pay when he was released by the Steelers after being on the opening day roster, which I assume he did, and sit back and get paid basically for not playing. That's not the plan going into the year, but if you got to rehab that injury, that's fine. It is interesting, though, that the Jags would be a team that would call and check in on him because they professed nothing but support for Jason Myers while he struggled throughout the early part of the season. So Dave Caldwell, again, meets with the media tomorrow. If I were in Indy, that would be one of the things I'd be asking him. Well, Josh Scobie says that you contacted him. Was that with the idea of bringing him back and cutting Jason Myers loose at that point in time? Because you weren't going to have two kickers on the squad, at least you wouldn't think, and it rarely done, although on occasion there have been some short yardage and longer yardage specialists on a few teams. It's been very rare. But you know, hopefully that'll get brought up tomorrow with Dave Caldwell. I'm just curious to find out because I'm quite surprised to learn that the Jags did call him, according to Josh Scobie, after being released by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think in week four it was, right?
And he said Jaguars, Tampa Bay Bucks, and the Saints all reached out to him. Well, about 3 weeks ago, the Saints did give him a tryout, so he's still on the radar. They did not sign him after the tryout. That was back on February 4th.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense as well that he'd be there. Speaking of the Saints, I know you mentioned Marcus Colston is getting released. Brandon Browner is scheduled to be let go, according to the story out today, on March 9th. And I think a lot of people start to ask and make that connection. Well, now Brandon Browner fits the profile of a big corner. And Brandon Browner's like 6'4", right? He's one of the biggest corners in the National Football League. And he played in Seattle when Gus Bradley was there. Jags need help in the secondary. Should they bring him in? Here's my concern. How bad was that New Orleans defense last year? Answer was pretty damn bad. Terrible. Awful. Terrible defense. They've got him. They know what he's capable of doing, and they don't want him anymore. And he's on a 3-year, $15 million deal. $5 million for a serviceable corner is not too much to pay in the National Football League.
Pro Football Focus, also known as PFF, released their cornerback rankings. 119 were ranked.
What is this PFF you speak of?
PFF. Yes. It's a overseas enterprise.
Thank you.
And PFF, Mike, they ranked 119 cornerbacks. And would you care to guess where Brandon Browner out of 119 finished?
I'm going to go with 117.
119, dead last for Brandon Browner.
Damn. Well, the Saints, apparently, their internal metrics line up with that.
How could he drop off so much? Wasn't he a solid player in Seattle, or was it the scheme?
You know, that's the thing. When you're a solid player surrounded by really good to great players, you can look better because you got a lot of support. You got a lot of help. You know, if you've got Richard Sherman taking a guy one-on-one and you're Brandon Browner, you're always getting help from a safety, and I don't know if, you know, I'm just generalizing here, it's easy to look a little bit better.
For some perspective on that ranking, the first Jacksonville Jaguar you will find on the cornerback rankings from 1 to 119, Aaron Colvin came in at 46. You go down further to the list, 51 was Devon House.
Interesting. So they basically, that's a wash, 46, 51.
Right. Dwayne Grotz came in at 76.
I think most people would be surprised he was that high.
Right.
You know, 51, honestly, I didn't think Devon House was great, but I thought he was the best corner for the Jags last year. I thought he played, you know, did he have his bad moments? Sure, they all did, all right? I mean, the defense was not exactly a world beater, but, there's always a little bit of wiggle room in some of these rankings. They go into it trying to grade how well a guy did with a particular assignment when they don't know what the assignment is. Right, they don't know what he was responsible for in the defense.
Right, and this may be very surprising. A guy who finished just above Brandon Browner, this guy has a rep for being a shutdown corner.
A shutdown corner.
Joe Hayden.
Finished what, 118?
117.
Joe Hayden finished 117.
Joe Hayden, 117th, ranked out of 119 cornerbacks by PFF. This was released January 4th.
Holy smokes.
Wow.
That is surprising. Joe Hayden, not only that, has somehow managed to have one of the most popular selling jerseys in the National Football League, despite the fact that he toils for a terrible Browns franchise. I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of passion in the Browns fan base. You know, they've been around for a long time, but, you know, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, there aren't maybe to choose from that you'd like to hang your hat on and feel like this thing's going to hold its value for a few years. But that is very surprising to me. He's got a reputation as being one of the better youngish corners. He's not so young anymore, but he's not an ancient guy by any stretch. That does surprise me. All right. Coming up next, we'll go back to Indy. Fat Tony is up there. Remember, question of the day, having some fun with this on Twitter and Facebook. You can tweet at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Tyler with your responses to this. We always know there are crazy questions asked at the combine. For instance, Des Bryant was asked once, was your mother a prostitute? Of course, there was some backstory to that. Jeffrey Ireland, who was the GM of the Dolphins, said, what did your dad do for a living? Des Bryant said, my dad was a pimp. What did your mom do? She worked for my dad. Well, the follow-up, I actually thought was kind of logical. Was your mom a prostitute? I mean, if she worked for a pimp, does a pimp have a bookkeeper? I don't know. What did she do?
The CPA for the operation.
It was seen as very, very, very terrible question to have asked. But that's an extreme example. As Austin Lane, former Jaguar, tweeted out yesterday, some of the examples of the things he had been asked, such as, if you could kill someone, if you knew you'd get away with it, would you do it? What kind of crazy question would you put the screws to a draft prospect by asking? Share your thoughts with us on Twitter or on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Up to Indy next. Fat Tony joins us once again live on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. We'll go to Indy for the scouting combine straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today, I believe Blake Bortles is going to be up at Indy. I think I heard Tony mention that early this morning. Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Let's go back to Indianapolis. Fat Tony, the better half of Jaguars Today, on the ground at the NFL Scouting Combine. Tony, did I hear you say that one of your updates, that Blake Bortles is, in fact, up in Indy or will be in Indy and meeting with the media this week?
I don't think so.
I thought I heard you say that. I don't listen very closely, so there's there's that.
No, I haven't heard anything about Blake being here. Obviously, Gus and Dave are both here, and the whole scouting department is up here for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gus and Dave will both be talking to the media tomorrow. Gus in the morning, and then he'll be coming over to join us here on 1010XL. And that should be right around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow afternoon, Dave Caldwell, the Jags general manager, will speak to the media here at the Combine at 2:30. And then he'll be on with Frank and Rick tomorrow afternoon right around 3:15, 3:20 tomorrow. But I haven't heard anything about any Jaguars players being here for the Combine. Honestly, I don't know what
either.
Players would do.
Yeah, I don't either. That's why when I heard that, I figured I'd ask you about that. He was on yesterday with the drill, as a matter of fact, came in studio and talked about his foundation starting up, which is a cool thing. And so he's got that going for himself. Former Jaguar quarterback Blaine Gabbert, apparently, Tony, will go head-to-head. This is the thing. There's so much NFL news that comes out this week. Gabbert will go head-to-head with Colin Kaepernick, who the 49ers say they will not cut. There is some thought that the 49ers may go quarterback with the 7th overall pick in the draft. What kind of buzz, if any, are you hearing about these quarterbacks, or do teams know enough about them? How important is this week, particularly for a guy like Carson Wentz, who played at a lower level of football in college?
Yeah, the quarterbacks are arriving today, and I'm interested here over the next couple hours to try to talk to some of the guys here in the building about just how they feel about that type of guy. I did walk over to listen to Trent Baalke, the 49ers general manager, speak at the podium a few minutes ago, and he was talking about the quarterback situation there in San Francisco, obviously, as you mentioned, with Gabbert and Kaepernick and what their plan is. And it's kind of a funny feel for us in Jacksonville, because since they drafted Blake Bortles, it's nice to not have to worry about the quarterback conversation, but it is still such an overwhelming thing. It was funny for me looking at the schedule of players as they come in. Like today, it's offensive linemen and running backs that'll be here available to the media, and tomorrow it's going to be the other offensive skill positions. So quarterback, wide receiver, tight end will all be in the building tomorrow. They're arriving today, but really talking to the media tomorrow. And I was looking at that group. Jags really aren't in the running for a wide receiver. They're really not in the running for a quarterback, thankfully. But I know that's where a lot of the frenzy is going to be this week, is with the running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers here at the NFL Scouting Combine. And it's kind of a weird situation where the Jags really don't have to be in on any of those positions. For them, it's about what's coming in late in the week with the defensive line, linebackers, secondary groups, which won't start coming in until Wednesday
Thursday. I agree for the most part that makes sense. So Ryan O'Halloran, as we mentioned, tweeted out a list of guys that they will speak to. You do your due diligence. You know, Derrick Henry, Tony, we know is a popular guy. Is there any chance in your mind, we're so focused on defense, is there a chance that we see a surprise selection, at what we would deem a surprise selection, be it a running back or, I guess, an offensive lineman? I can't really envision them drafting any other offensive position all that highly, but beginning in round 2, for instance, how soon, if there is going to be a surprise, how early do you think it would come in the draft for the Jaguars?
I get the sense from offensive line and running back perspectives with the Jags, I get the sense that they feel pretty good about what they have on the offensive line. I know Wisniewski is a guy that they wouldn't mind having come back, but I think it's going to be one of those where they let him hit free agency, and if he doesn't get the kind of money that he wants to get from somebody else, maybe he winds up being in a Jaguars uniform again next year. But I think they're comfortable with what they have up front and the flexibility that having Linder and Can and some of these guys on the offensive line gives them. So I'd be a little bit surprised if offensive line was the way they go. I keep hearing reiterated that they feel like they need two running backs, and right now they only have one. So if they felt like Derrick Henry was that type of value in the second round, and maybe there were some other positions they were looking at that they didn't feel like had the type of value that Derrick Henry does when they're picking, I could see that type of pick being made second, third, fourth round, that the Jags would potentially spend a draft pick on the running back position because they feel like they need to. And right now they got Yeldon and really nothing behind him. I don't think they feel like they can trust Denard Robinson right now to be the backup running back in Jacksonville.
No, but there are a lot of running backs that could help you that are available in free agency as well.
And Lamar Miller, anybody like that.
Chris Ivory could come in. You just don't know. You know, it depends on what kind of other level of interest that they draw. They've said nothing but good things about T.J. Yeldon that I can recall. If you were to spend, you're not getting Derrick Henry, I don't think, in the third round, right? So if you want Derrick Henry, the chance to get him is at the top of the second round, I think.
And by the way, Derrick Henry just weighed in 6'2", 2.5", 247 pounds.
247 is probably less than I expected him to be, to be honest with you. So I'll be interested to see how fast he runs. But, Tony, is that an indictment of last year's second round pick if you were to spend a pick that high? And I'm not saying they will, but if they were to, what does that say about T.J. Yeldon, or is it, in your mind, acceptable to spend back-to-back high second-rounders at basically two guys that are going to be in some kind of a timeshare?
I wouldn't do it. I personally wouldn't do it, and I do think it says something about, you know, how you have to feel about that. But I think you can also look at it from the other perspective, Mike, where it's a look into how you feel philosophically about the position of running back in the league. And I think where a lot of people, me included in this, feel like you can go find running backs, especially if you feel like you've got one in T.J. Yeldon, that you can go find another guy that can be that backup role for you, that can do the whatever role you need out of that guy. I think you can fill that in free agency rather than spending a draft pick on that position again. But I think it would give you a look behind the curtain as far as philosophically how they feel about the running back position, and that they really do think they need two really good players at that spot to be effective. Now, I don't personally agree with that. I don't think you need to. I certainly don't think you need to spend the second round pick in back-to-back drafts, and I don't really expect them to, but I wouldn't be shocked if that is the direction they go with the second round pick.
I think, what do you think about Chris Ivory in terms of a fit and complementing T.J. Yeldon? Because I think that would be an interesting combination, because he is that hard charging between the tackles guy. You would assume he would be your goal line guy. You assume T.J. Would be the guy would be in there on third downs because he's a good receiver and he's a good pass protector. He showed that in his rookie season. I think that would be a nice compliment for a guy like that. Again, he may get an offer that enables him to be the lead back somewhere, but if he didn't, I think he'd be a nice fit here in Jacksonville.
No, I think so, too. I'm curious this year why Yeldon never felt like he really got the opportunity to see if he was any good in those short-yarded situations. Maybe it's something they saw in practice and just decided that wasn't what his role was going to be, that he just wasn't effective doing it. So they might have more information than I have looking from the outside, but I know Toby Gerhard wasn't any good at it. I know Denard Robinson wasn't really any good at it. So I kept waiting on Yeldon to be the guy given that opportunity. So I'm a little bit curious, and if I get the opportunity tomorrow, I'll ask Dave Caldwell about this, what they want in another running back. Do they want to have more of that big bruising type of guy, that short yardage type of guy? Is that what they're looking for, or are they looking for a receiving back, more of a Lamar Miller type with the speed, the long end speed type of guy? I'm not sure, because I don't know that we got a full idea of what T.J. Yeldon was this year and some of the opportunities that were taken away from him. Maybe he is an effective short yardage back and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, we didn't have all the opportunities in the preseason. It looked like he had some issues, you know, but that's a small sample size. But
yeah,
regardless, you're going to have a role. It depends if you're going to spend another relatively high draft pick, second or third rounder, whether it's Henry or any other running back. You got to know what you want. You got to have a role envisioned for him. So that'll be one of the positions that maybe they'll. I'd like to see them supplement that through free agency more so than the draft, but we'll see what direction they take. Malik Jackson, Tony, is a guy that obviously a lot of Jaguar fans have focused in on, a potential pursuit by the Jaguars of the Denver defensive lineman. Mike Kliss of the Denver Post wrote that the he feels the Jaguars covet Malik Jackson. He did a Q&A kind of column where fans of the Broncos submitted questions, and there were several of them about Jackson. He said the Broncos right now are already willing to give him an average of at least $10 million a year, which to me is a great sign. They know him better than anybody, and if they're willing to pay $10 million, if you structure it right, the Jags might be willing to pay $13 or $14 million, and that's fine as far as I am concerned. He said that when it came to Brock Osweiler, he thinks Osweiler would stay in Denver, for instance, if he got $12 million in Denver versus $15 million in Cleveland. Right? That rich is rich to Osweiler. He feels that Malik Jackson is more likely to be the guy who would turn down $12 million in Denver to go for $14 million in Jacksonville. In other words, giving you the impression, he says, I don't know this for sure, but that he will chase every last penny. Do you get the sense that the Jaguars will be trying to get him to chase their pennies?
Yes. I do think that certainly Malik Jackson is somebody that is potentially in the free agency plan for the Jacksonville Jaguars here over the course of the next couple of weeks. And if he does hit free agency, look, I think it's difficult sometimes to, with free agency, you're going to have to spend more than guys are worth. That's just the nature of free agency in the National Football League. And I think for some fans, for instance, if they go out and sign Olivier Vernon, right, Mike, and he comes in, they're paying him $15 million a year because that's what you had to pay him to get him to Jacksonville.
Yep.
And if you wanted him, that's what you have to pay to go get him. And say next year he has seven sacks. Well, there'll be a lot of fans that are like, well, why the hell are we paying this guy $15 million? Well, because if you want him, you have to pay $15 million. It's going to be here or wherever else he was going to sign. That's the nature of free agency, and I think it's hard to balance those two sometimes, and that's where the noise outside the building can't affect everything that these guys are doing as far as decisions inside the building. But I get the strong sense that Olivier Vernon, Malik Jackson, those two guys on the defensive line, if they do indeed hit free agency, that the Jaguars will be in heavy pursuit of both of those guys at the beginning of March whenever they get the opportunity to go get them, assuming that they do.
Give me those two. Give me Trumaine Johnson from the Rams or Janoris Jenkins, but Trumaine Johnson's starting to grow on me a little bit more, or maybe a Sean Smith type from Kansas City, something like that. Give me a good corner that can walk in,
sure,
as a starter, and give me those two defensive linemen, and then, you know, you can pick up. We forget, maybe we don't forget, but we overlook sometimes the fact that Brian Walters was like an after the first wave signing last year, and it was just a footnote when they signed him. Oh, okay, they got Brian Walters. It didn't happen in the first 24 hours. It must not have been a highly coveted guy. And then Brian Walters turned into a bit of a fan favorite because he just did everything you asked of him for the most,
sure,
part in his role, showed sticky hands, and was a reliable guy, at least holding on to the football in the punt return game. So it's not always necessarily just the big name guys that you're pursuing that are going to shape the final roster. Tony, what do you got coming up? I know Frank and Rick will be live there this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But for yourself, what will you be doing between now and then?
I'm going to try to chase down some stuff again. It's kind of hit or miss as far as when any of the players are going to be here in the building, and they announce it inside the interview hall, which is right behind me, but they don't announce it out here on Radio Row. So to hear when guys are going to be in there, you actually have to go in. So I'll spend a couple hours in there trying to run down some of the bigger-named NFL guys who everybody's here. I mean, everybody's here that covers the league. So hopefully try to track down some of those, maybe catch up for a few minutes with Derrick Henry, some of the other local guys that we may have an eye on, any potential Jaguars draft picks as well. I thought you'd get a kick out of this, Mike. I told you I went and listened to Trent Baalke, the 49ers GM, speak for a couple minutes.
Yes.
And one of his comments today, I thought immediately of you. He said, if we're watching tape on a guy and he runs a 4.6, and then he comes out here to the NFL Combine and runs a 4.3, we're not going to make him a 4.3 guy. And in my head, I scoffed because I'm like, the whole league makes him a 4.3 guy as soon as he runs a 4.3 at the Combine.
Of course they do.
What they do is say we have to go reevaluate the tape because we saw 4.6 on the tape. Were we wrong about seeing 4.6 now that we saw 4.3? But I thought of you immediately when he made that comment.
Oh, come on. This whole notion, we're going to go watch a tape again. What did you watch the first time? Honestly, are you seeing something different, or did you just do a bad job evaluating the guy the first time and judging his attributes? I know it's not a perfect science by any stretch of the imagination, but they want it all different ways, right? They're going to tell you that it's all about the tape, and then somebody's going to run an eye-popping number, and you watch that guy. I mean, Byron Jones last year out of UConn shot up draft boards, Tony, and ended up going in the first round because of his all-around jaw-dropping athletic numbers that he put up there. And nobody was talking about him as a first-rounder, and they can all talk about, well, we would have gone back and looked at him more. BS. The combine does influence the selection of these players and how high they go. Now, how much it influences them varies from team to team and GM to GM, but don't give me this. You're not going to adjust based on it, the fact that guy runs a 4.3 in Indianapolis. Not buying it. All right, bud.
I don't buy it either.
I'm glad you thought of me because I am a cynic and at heart, as you know. All right, Tony, good stuff, buddy, and great job on the updates as well. They sound professionally produced to the fact that I was surprised they were live. They were that good. So excellent job what you're doing up there in Indy, and I personally will catch up with you tomorrow morning, but we'll be listening throughout the afternoon to find out what you guys bring in.
Sounds good. Talk to you throughout the afternoon. See you, Mike.
All right, buddy. There goes Fat Tony up in Indianapolis. By the way, several have contacted me to mention that if you go further into the Josh Scobie interview, that Scobie kind of restates what he said, may have misspoken or given the wrong impression. Are you confirming this, Tyler, with your head nod, or are you just thinking I'm speaking
I'm
good English word?
You're following along. I'm not confirming. I'm just following along.
I wasn't sure because I know JJ was maybe putting that interview in, and I didn't know if he had heard anything in it. That maybe it what sounded like clearly Scobie indicating that the Jaguars called him.
Well, a guy he talked to was T-Wig, so I'll ask him in the break what happened with Scobie.
Good, is T-Wig in the? I haven't seen him walk in.
I believe he may be here already.
I just saw Josie shambling in here moments ago. So good to know that Josie puts in tons of early prep time on the program. Just busting your chops, Josie. That's all. All right, we'll get to the text line. We got a bunch of feedback today and questions on the text line. We'll get to that coming up. We'll also take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. What kind of crazy off-the-wall question would you try to throw draft prospects off their game by asking if you had the opportunity in one of these 15-minute interviews? We'll run through some of the fun ones that we got coming back. Next, it is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here with you, Mike Dempsey, on 1010XL, Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has your solution with same-day service, weekends included. Why are they so good? Well, they have the right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. MetroRooter.com is the website. That's where you need to go to find out all about their services that they offer. 695-1911, 695-1911. Call Metro Rooter if you have any plumbing issues, and they'll be taken care of as quickly as possible. Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today, coming back with the fan feedback spotlight here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Scheme fit, and certainly Tennessee picking number one has to protect Marcus Mariota. Taylor Lewan moves the right tackle. In steps Laramie Tunsil, tackle from Ole Miss. Then you look at San Diego at three. DeForest Buckner from Oregon, Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, outproduced Bosa. He figures there because of scheme fit. And then you look at Dallas at four. The quarterback goes to Cleveland at two. What does Dallas do at four? They could take Joey Bosa. They could also take Jared Goff or Wentz, whatever quarterback drops to four. So that's why I have Bosa dropping to six to Baltimore.
That's Mel Kiper yesterday on Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio talking about why Joey Bosa's sliding a little in his mock draft. Doesn't mean he's sliding as a prospect. It means, you know, based on circumstance, what teams need and the fit that he would be in certain teams' defensive schemes, or the fact that some other teams may be better fits, or they may be more inclined to take a quarterback, that Joey Bosa may be able to slide down. And that he had Ramsey, I believe, going to the Jags, if I'm not mistaken. Here's some on the text line. Today, the question of the day by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships was, if you could ask a silly question or a stupid question or a crazy question or whatever kind of off-the-wall question you want to ask a draft prospect to throw them off their game a little bit, what would it be? So some of these are sprinkled in along with some other ones. Let's see. How many walkers have you killed? How many people have you killed? And why? I got that on Facebook or on the text line and Twitter. It's handy in the zombie apocalypse. I don't think it's foolproof. Because guess what? In the zombie apocalypse, maybe you'll get a lie about how many people you've killed and why. I don't know. But
well, if you're killing zombies, does that actually count as a real murder?
Well, how many? No, I don't think so. But how many walkers have you killed? I mean, everybody's killed a bunch at this point in time if you're still alive. How many people have you killed? Well, have you seen some of the people running around in the zombie apocalypse? They're asking for it. They need putting down, right? It's a public service. And why? Well, I just told you, it's a public service. Bad people. All right, let's see. If you're in the recent catfight video, how would you have handled it? That's in from Trojan Chuck.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, I think that that comes up quite frequently. Do you think different people see colors differently, right? And
colorblind people.
You ever think about that's true. That's a good point, colorblind people. But, like, when I see green, does my green look like your green? Right? Well, you know what you see as green.
Right.
But does it, is it, are we interpreting it the same way? I don't know. It's a question to ponder for some of these draft prospects to prepare these guys. Let's see what else. If your baby mama and your girlfriend were fighting, which one you would you grab to get an advantage?
The one you're currently with, right?
Right. I would think, what advantage are we trying to get here? I mean, I think you got to back the one that you showed up with. And what, but what about if the tide turns like halfway through the fight? Are you getting involved at that point, or are you just going with whoever comes out victorious? I'm not sure.
The person doing the wailing is the one you pull off, right? You have to. I mean, if they're doing the most damage, you got to pull them off.
You'd think, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've never presided over any kind of fight between ladies of any kind.
And Knowles fan chimes in here on the text line, have you ever been given free crab legs?
Oh, I wish I had. You know what? That would have been a useful one last year, I think. At least one guy. And this one, not for this question, but in general, why wouldn't the Cowboys draft one of these stud quarterbacks? Well, first of all, these stud quarterbacks, we don't know if they're going to be stud quarterbacks, okay? I mean, they may be highly ranked prospects, but they go on. They do not envision themselves drafting this high again in the future, and a healthy Romo would allow them to develop the next year or two. And the follow-up from the same texter, actually, same goes for the Chargers. Rivers has a couple good years left, but his replacement will have to come soon. And like the Cowboys, the Chargers don't see themselves picking this high very often. Well, A, do they think these guys are worth that kind of a pick? Do they really view them as franchise quarterbacks? And what are their goals? Do they feel? Do the Dallas Cowboys feel like they're on the precipice? Okay, last year, terrible year, but Tony Romo basically didn't play. Year before, they won 12 games, right? Could have easily seen them if Dez Bryant's balls ruled a catch. Maybe they go on and win the Super Bowl, right? So maybe they feel like with a healthy Romo, they're that close to winning a championship. And, yeah, you're not in position to draft the quarterback, but how many times are you in position to win the Super Bowl? If you feel that way and you can add a Joey Bosa or a Jalen Ramsey or a Miles Jack or somebody like that. So that's why the Cowboys might not. Nobody knows what they're going to do. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback there, though. I think the Cowboys are the kind of team that wants to win right now, if they possibly can. Some on the Twitter line answering questions or submitting questions for draft prospects. Let's roll through some of these. Tony Agolini goes with, why am I here? That reminds me of James Stockdale every time. You know who James Stockdale is?
I do not.
He was Ross Perot's running mate back in, what was that, 92? The Admiral James Stockdale. And he opened up the vice presidential debate by addressing crowds saying, who am I and why am I here? Which are, you know, basic philosophical questions, but in his case were actually pertinent questions because nobody knew who the hell he was. Congratulations, Admiral, for achieving the rank of Admiral. Who the hell are you? Jag Junkie, you knew this was coming. At Battle for Duval, is a hot dog a sandwich? Okay.
Did you ever give your take on that?
I think a hot dog's a sandwich, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's meat served on bread. That's basically all I need for a hot dog being a sandwich or anything being a sandwich. Duval Doom said he would ask, give me your thoughts on mayonnaise. All right, that's always a popular one. Stoff Prime said, do you check your rankings on the Uncle Chaps draft board? Well, who the hell doesn't? Are you kidding me? Of course
very
you do.
Very prestigious.
Very prestigious. This is a serious one, I thought, and a good one from Big Hertz, Big Hertzer, Hurtis Weish Sr. What are your bad habits when it comes to football in your personal life? Like, how would you answer that question? Like, what are the worst habits you have personally? You know, you can always come up with something. Hey, I don't make the bed.
I tend to murder people.
I tend to murder people when I think I can get away with it. Well, have you done it? Have you heard me being caught for murder yet? Well, I'm pretty good at it. Let's see. This is from Irish Jaguar. This one sounds dumb and crazy, but tells a lot about the person. How many piano tuners are there in the UK? This is something that's flying at this present moment directly over my head. I do not know where it's going, but it is.
We would be undraftable according to that question because we don't know the answer.
I've got no idea why it's being asked. Another one with how many walkers were killed. Let's see. What is the airspeed velocity of a coconut-laden swallow? Which I was impressed that JJ knew that was a Monty Python reference. Nice job. Here's a more specific one. Lord of the Jaguar on Twitter. When consuming mayonnaise, do you prefer a spoon, your fingers, or a squirt bottle directly into your mouth?
Oh, squirt bottle. It's got to be efficient.
Yeah, you think so? Keeps your fingers handy?
Yeah, I would think the Titans fans that love the mayo probably use the squirt bottle.
Ian Smith, at AllBully904, suggested, can you get me some crack? Would be an interesting answer. Or an interesting question to be put forward. Black Dog Express, what advice would you give your adolescent self? That's a good one. That's like a serious one, right? I mean, looking back now, it's not that long ago, but go back 5-6 years, what's the best advice you could give your knucklehead self? And then you kind of figure out where they went wrong, too. Like, hey, dude, I would tell my adolescent self, don't murder anybody, even if you thought you were going to get away with it, right? And then, by the way, this is all, we didn't come up with this. This was asked of Austin Lane, the former Jaguar, by some team at the Combine. Somebody asked him, would you murder someone? Is there anyone you would murder if you really felt you'd get away with it? This was a series of interesting offbeat questions that were asked of Austin Lane. Let's see. Anything else here? Someone took this very seriously and tweeted, killing is wrong and shouldn't be justified even if you know they'll get away with it. That's just how I feel. Thank you for that clarification. And Admiral Stockdale was also a POW for about 8 years. That is correct. Thank you, Ocho Fisho. And nobody knew that until we figured out who he was at that point in time. But that is a good point. Look, he's a war hero. There's no question about it. It wasn't like he was, I don't know, Audie Murphy. Was that who it was, Audie Murphy, in World War II? I believe that's who that was. Finally went outside of Tyler's comfort zone. And then Nikki finally would ask, do you bleed teal? That was it.
Duval till we die.
Duval till we die, baby. Yes, I do. They say Gabbert, when he went to the Combine, had, like, memorized everyone's name, like, photos of their... And so, like, he greeted everybody, really impressed a lot of people.
The front office guys?
The entire league. Like, the GMs, the key figures in the front office, the head coaches, knew everybody. So he'd see him, he'd be like, hey, Dave Caldwell. Of course, Dave Caldwell wasn't a GM at the time, but you get the point.
So impressive, Blaine. Wow.
Yes. Hey, Gene Smith. Gene's like, that's right.
This
baby is
my guy right here.
Come
Let's
on down.
Him.
Come
he
on
knew my
down.
Name. First shot. Let's get him.
All right. That does it for us today. Thanks to the Tom Bush family of dealerships. They bring you the fan feedback spotlight every day. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Glad we could go live to Indy, Fat Tony, and Frank and Rick up there for the rest of the week. And we'll have tons of coverage all throughout the course of the day from the scouting combine in Indianapolis. And over the next few days, we'll start to get these guys trickling onto the field and actually get some results to talk about as well. Jags, Gus Bradley will talk tomorrow to the media, and hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up with him live on Jaguars Today after that press conference. And then Dave Caldwell later on in the afternoon and is scheduled to appear with Frank and Rick tomorrow live here on 1010XL as well. That does it for us today. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, who saved me a trip down to Everbank, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. XL Primetime is coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.